Ooh, there's someone.
There goes a golf cart. So I don't even know what we're talking about. What are we talking about? Whatever strikes our fancy.
Nothing really going on this week.
Welcome to the Boyle Sports Handsome Hour. It is finally another game week. Boyle Sports Handsome Hour.
Oh man, feels good.
We have not potted during a basketball or football game week in, let's think now, what are we talking about 5 months? Six months? Something like that. Four months.
Mid-March.
Yeah, that is 5 months. 5.5 months. Man. Of course it was mid-March. When else would the season end?
I almost said April, and then I was like,
produce seasons don't end in April. No. Oh, but for football, it's been like 7+ months. It's been more than 8 months.
That's okay.
Exactly.
That's okay, because in previous seasons, we could have gone a little longer without a game. You know?
Nine months. Yeah, 10 months, something like that. Yeah, easily. And you know what I was working on a draft of the Predicto for this week, I realized in looking at the schedule from last year and this year, Purdue's last loss was against Northwestern.
Yeah, because that was the second to last.
If they don't win this week, they're going to lose two consecutive games, and their last two losses will be to Northwestern. So I think that's all the more reason to side with our fans who, let me just remind you that 93% of them said Purdue is going to beat Northwestern. So, this is a confident bunch. This is a confident bunch we're talking about right now.
So I really enjoy our fans. They're wonderful.
Not
they're
our
insane.
Fans.
They're
Purdue
insane.
Fans.
Purdue World fans sports that readers. Follow us.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. They're not fans of us, and we've learned that the hard way recently.
Yes. they are insane. Like 93% to beat Northwestern? Northwestern's a good team. A really good team.
Northwestern won 10 games last year. This is a 10-win team Purdue's talking about beating. Yeah, fans are talking about it like it's a gimme. I love it.
I mean, and we inside, I think we went four. You're going to have to read the predictor to find out.
Yes.
But I believe we went 5-for-5, all of us picking victories. Maybe not. Who knows? You're going to have to click.
You're going to have to tune in.
Yeah. But it's just like 93%.
Oh, we've been swept up in it. Let's not make any. Yeah, we definitely have. But,
it's kind of a, you know, it's not a, you know, season ending. If they lose, it's not going to be catastrophic. No. But if they win and they win decisively, I think Boiler Dowd mentioned this on the last podcast or the last week's podcast, that may be Purdue's shot of being ranked this year. And the last time Purdue, here's a quiz for you. The last time Purdue was ranked.
I know this. The last time they were ranked was in 2007.
Curtis Painter, 5-0 year.
Yes, that was, and we've talked about this before too. That was the softest 5-0 start I've ever seen in my life. And I believe they had Ohio State come to town, and they played at night, and they were like 23rd, and Ohio State was like top 10, and we all talked ourselves into it. We were like, yeah, Purdue's ranked team, and they got, you know, mollywomped like they should have.
I still have that t-shirt, I think.
Oh, you were probably
That was my freshman year, yeah. And so, yeah, that was fun, though.
So your freshman year, you had a similar experience to that I did. You're like, this is amazing. Look at Purdue football.
By the way, at that only recently has it been taken down, but CurtisPainter12.com was my favorite website. Boyle Sports was a close second.
Oh, that was a great website.
Curtis Painter 12 was his Heisman hype campaign from 2008, because 07 was his junior year, and he was, you know, he had a very good beginning of the year. But yeah, I still have. I'm sure that at my parents' house, there's that T-shirt somewhere. And
what
then
was the T-shirt?
The game before it was dark. Yeah, so there was a T-shirt just for there. It was a blackout game because it was a night game,
right,
which
was rare.
Those days,
rare.
Children, yes. It was. We may have had six total. And it was a giant Purdue. So like basically positioned on each pectoral were the football helmets, and Purdue's was massive. It was just huge. It took up 3/4 of your chest, and there's this tiny little Buckeye helmet. And then we lost 23-7. So what are you going to do?
Speaking of moments like that, not that, see, this would be really applicable if Purdue were playing Ohio State this week, but I'll just pretend this. So I'm going to play off that. I was thinking about Purdue's awesome uniforms this year and the matte gold helmet and all that kind of stuff. When they rolled out the black helmets, it was during the Hazel era, and they played Ohio State, and they said, we're going to have a blackout game against Ohio State. And then BTN or whatever said, okay, well, you're starting at noon. So it was one of those like half empty Ross Aid, more than half empty, right? So the black effect was a little muted.
It was almost like specks.
Was in bright dirt. Daylight in an empty stadium. It doesn't really have the same effect.
And the Hazel years.
Well, I mean, the best blackouts are obviously night games. It only makes sense at night. I always, Ryan used to make fun of me because I used to get I remember during the Hope era, it was the first time they ever blacked out the end zones. And they put the black text on like a black field, and he kept texting me, making fun of me. The end zones are black. I was like, yeah, well, that's the, when we were there, the Purdue was written in gold.
Yep.
And they finally were like, all right, we're going to actually do something kind of neat. And they usually wound up losing. So I think he's of the opinion that Thursday night, they're going to black it out because it's a,
no, cause night. They've been showing clips of it. It'd be a pretty late black.
Oh, no, not to change the field. No. He meant the uniforms.
No. Oh, the uniforms.
Like go with the black helmet again. And I was like, I don't know, because that gold is new. It's gotten some press. And I know we all love, it's so cool when they do a neat thing with the uniforms and they do a blackout. I like it, but I love Purdue's traditional scheme. With the gold helmets, black jerseys, gold pants, it is such a great look. It's such a great look.
The home version of that was the black pants, gold. Did they wear black pants or no gold pants?
Head to toe black.
So in that hype video, that it was, I think it was DJ Knox. He was wearing gold pants, like the matte. It matched the matte gold helmet.
Yes,
black jersey. Matt gold
with the gold numbers matching the helmet. That's their traditional. That's perfect. Gold pants, gold helmet, black jersey is perfect. And if you want to do an occasional solid black head to toe, I think it's great to mix that in.
When Ohio State, speaking of Ohio State, when Ohio State comes from Ohio State and college
game day, and it's like an 8 o'clock game. Right. Then I think it's fine to do that. No, they'll probably roll out white helmets or do the all white look, which, got to do away with the whites, man.
Yeah. And just like the chromes. Put them with the chromes.
No. The chromes are fine. You don't like the chromes?
The chromes have bad history. We don't need the chromes.
The chrome helmets? No, they don't.
Oh,
they won the bowl game in them.
They're beautiful. Did they wear them in the bowl? I think that was the one win. So, like, they wore them three times last year?
I think they won in them. I think they wore them against IU, didn't they?
I don't know. I don't remember.
The chromes. I'm fine with the chromes. I actually thought that was kind of neat. I like that.
I wear the matte gold helmet as many times as possible. That thing.
Hell yes.
Did you put one on your? You have one.
Yes.
That you put on your little mantle, and Dowd made one. Oh, it's perfect.
Well, he made He made a matte gold. Yeah. He made a matte gold. I found the chrome mini helmet online. And I was like, especially if they're doing away with it, I want to snag that because that has some significance. Because to me, it's the first Brom year. It's the first, beating a Power 5 team in a bowl game mattered. I mean, I know it was a 7-6 season, but it wasn't a 7-6 where you're beating Western Michigan in Detroit. You beat Arizona out west. Let's not forget, that's Arizona to California is not that far. And Purdue went out there and beat them. And
it made everybody.
With Tate.
Yep.
I mean, that's a legit win. You can, that is a program. So someone asked us on Twitter, if Purdue had a defining, he said to his credit, he said, I was listening to last year's podcast, which God bless you. And,
I've never listened to a single podcast.
They're immediately stale to you.
Yeah.
He said, you guys were talking after the Michigan game about how Purdue needs a signature win. And I think that's good that he brought that up. And he said, do you think they got it? And I said, not really. I really don't think last year there was a signature win. But if you had to pick one, I actually would probably pick the Arizona game because of the way that Purdue was finishing strong. They were playing a quality opponent. They withstood pressure, late charge from Arizona. So
I don't know. There were memorable wins. Like you have Minnesota, you have Iowa, you have Indiana.
That's not a signature or statement. You didn't beat Ohio State, right? You didn't beat I think so, and I think as Ryan Louisville, has pointed out,
we had a signature loss, right, and that was Louisville.
Right. You know? If they'd beaten them, that's Brohm's signature win. God, hell yeah. I guess Louisville, yeah, of all teams.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, let's not talk about Louisville. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, Louisville, and so this one would be a future head coach of Louisville, Jeff Brohm. Anyway.
Sign Bobby Petrino for life. Just do it. Louisville.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, I'm afraid that the Bengals or the Browns are going to hire him away. Browns are a year away from hiring Lincoln Riley or something like that for Baker Mayfield. And so I no, there's no signature win yet. Closest, I think you're right, is Arizona. I don't think Northwestern at home, even if they curb stomped them, would be it. But it would still be a fun, I mean, like every single victory has been amazing and fun.
Right.
And it's now, you know, I was reading, the Go Iowa Awesome people, just in my random perusing of all of the Big Ten blogs, in preparation for the season to start. And they were just like, you know, talking about how Kirk Ferentz is basically a generator of the exact same season. And once every 6 years, you have that 12 win. Right. But to read something where it's just 20 years of sustained 8 wins, you know, at minimum 20 years of 8 win seasons,
right,
with occasional 10 wins here or there, with NFL, constant NFL talent, it feels, you know, for them, it feels stale after 20 years. For us, after 4 of the worst years in Purdue football history, that loss against Louisville felt like a win. That bowl game against Arizona felt really meaningful. And a win in college football's first Power 5 versus Power 5 game. Is that right? First Power 5?
Yes. No. First FBS is what I read. FBS, okay, versus FBS. So basically, mostly, yes, yeah. Same, yeah, thing. But bowl subdivisions is not even a MAC game. But
it would mean, like, it would mean that everything. It would mean, you know, it would be amazing. It would be a time when all of the eyes are on Russ Aiden.
Will, I was going to say, will Purdue play in a game with more eyes on it, short of the thing we keep alluding to? Like, if they had a season that just, you know, was what everyone's dreaming of, and they have game day there or something, then maybe you get that kind of attention. But even then, on a Saturday night in, like, say October, there's a lot of other good games on usually.
There's a lot of other good
Thursday
games.
Night, this Thursday night, it's the first,
yep,
FBS game. It's a major conference game. Like, I don't know, there's going to be more. And people are so, at this time of year, people are so ready for college football to start. So I think you're going to have a lot of eyes on it. This game matters in that sense, too. Like, you need to – Purdue is on the map if they win this game, if they win it decisively.
Kind of reminds me of last year. It's a lower-stakes game, yeah, but Ohio, right? Ohio was on a Friday. It was that weird Friday, yes, night game. And yes, that was the same thing. I just read a thing about them, Purdue postponing Breakfast Club because they can't do it on a, you know, on a Thursday. It's not very viable to do. And so it was just like the same thing as last year when, mm-hmm, it was a night game, a Friday night game against Ohio, and there really wasn't anything on. And Brohm had a really good game. Brohm and Purdue had a really good game against Louisville, and a lot of people were watching that. I remember, like, almost all of the college football writer, the national college football writers, were tweeting about all of the trick plays. Mm-hmm. I remember a flea flicker that was run that game. You know, they utterly dominated that game. And that was Jeff Brohm and Purdue's coming out party last year. Right. That was what put Purdue on the map for everyone last year, and kind of validated the Brohm love that everybody, you know, who watches Conference USA, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, football nerds knew about Jeff Brohm, but that kind of put it on a different level. This year, this game could do the same.
Plenty of chances to put them on the map, too, because when you look at the schedule already, you know that the Missouri game's at night, the Northwestern game is a Thursday night. Mm. You know, there's going to be a lot of chances in prime time. And, of course, that makes sense because people who run TV know that Jeff Brohm's exciting. I should say that this is Jay. That was a long opening.
That was a good introduction. This is Anish. Subscribe on iTunes. If you're already subscribed, unsubscribe, wait a day, and resubscribe, because that shoots our numbers to the top of the charts, and that's great. That's
we should.
You should do.
We should also thank our loan sponsor, Martin Vintage.
We only have one. We only have one sponsor. They must be paying us a ton.
No. It barely. I don't even think it does cover all our expenses. But you know, it helps defray the cost of running a fan-run
site. And it feels good to partner with a wholesome Purdue business.
Oh, right. Someone else Purdue related. We love to help out other people who are Purdue related and
running a Purdue company that's really. You know, like because they do it, I'm sure that they make, you know, $20 for a shirt. I'm sure that they make a good amount of overhead on those, but it's a labor of love for them, you know.
Yeah. And
martinvintage.com, amazing, amazing website.
Great shirts.
We plug them every time we get a chance to, and we will continue to plug them every time we get a chance to. Enter Boiled at checkout for 20% off. Get it for, you know, you're not going to be able to get it in time for the Northwestern game. Hopefully you have another Martin Vintage shirt that you use code Boiled for in the closet. So yes. Just pull that out and go. But then for later in the year, for Ohio State game day, get one of those nice black, the nice black Martin Vintage football, Purdue football shirt. It's amazing. Go there, enter Boiled. You won't be let down.
And the thing that I like is I go there and I go there obviously all the time, probably almost daily. But no, but when I do, I see the Purdue collection is always growing too. And So if you first talk about them, if you first talk about them and you are like, oh, I've been there before, go back because they've got a 1960s block P style one. They've got the boiler up, hammer down shirt. They've got a Purdue football 2000 Big Ten Conference Champs shirt that's actually on sale right now. They've got a whole lot of cool Purdue shirts, and like we said, 20% off if you just enter boiled at checkout.
There you go. So Thorson probably playing the QB for the game, probably Sindelar, right?
Well, what was that quote that was going around? Brahm said he wasn't deciding on a guy, but he said it's important for Sindelar to get in a rhythm. It's like, well, not a rhythm holding the clipboard, right? It makes sense to me because on a few fronts, right? It's not that I don't like David Blau. I think he's great. And I love that he's one of those guys that everybody has said he's a captain, whether he's a starter or not. I love guys like that because it really tells you a lot. It's not just, you know, a lot of teams, the good players are the captains. Well, he's just a good guy and he's a leader. And I love that. This is the guys who want to follow him, whether he's starting or not. It says so much, right? And if you hear Sindelar talk about him, it also tells you a lot about how great a guy Blau is. But I think, you know, Sindelar finished the season strong last year. He seemed to get better to me as the season progressed. He throws the ball extraordinarily hard, which is what, if you watch Golden Black Days, Jeff Brohm kind of likes you throwing the ball hard. And Sindelar has always thrown it very hard. And it's hard to argue with his results down the stretch last year. Even on his bum knee, he was money, man, and he was phenomenal in the bowl game. So, I mean, it's hard to take that starting job away from him, I would say, right? It's nice to have options, but how do you take it away from Sindelar at this point?
I still think that it's because Brohm isn't really in love with either of them, and both of them are good enough. You know, like he's equally comfortable, but neither one is blowing the doors off of the hinges. You know, it's except for Sindelar with the velocity of his but I prefer Blau's style a little bit, but they're both good. Like they're both solid. Brohm is going to get a lot out of both of them. The receivers need to not let him down. And we'll see what Rondell Moore is, you know, like we'll see what kind of a weapon Rondell Moore is on the outside, whether they get creative with him at all, or whether they just have him out there being a speed demon down the field. And, you know, what's interesting is that the Rondell Moore factor might have dictated who is the starting quarterback, because if you have a speed demon, you want somebody who can throw the long ball better. And I like David Blau. I like his style, but there's no doubt that Sindelar has the cannon. He can chuck it downfield and with more to maximize more, maybe that is the threat that you need, you know?
Do you think Rondell Moore is more of a downfield threat? Because he's a slot receiver. So I feel like he's going to be your possession guy. I feel like he's going to be the Julian Edelman kind of like guy that, yeah, he certainly can go long, but like, I don't know. I think you're going to see a lot of slants and outs.
I think he'll get creative. And I think we want, I've seen a lot of, you know, now, but Golden Black analysis, which is usually spot on about where he'll play and what role he'll be doing. But we don't know until he hits the field. Brom doesn't know until he hits the field for the first time. And you can bet that he's not going to be static in his role the entire season. He's going to be a weapon that Brom is going to want to use as much as he can this year, next year. You know, it doesn't really matter what quarterback is throwing to him.
Right.
Moore is getting used.
You know, what I also like is one of the things that it's fun in a Jeff Brom offense is that Sparks is a converted quarterback, right? So you've got a guy playing receiver who is a quarterback, and it just lends itself to trick plays. And so here I'll ask you, Jared Sparks, over under touchdown passes this year, 1.5.
Over touch the season?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'll take
not just this game.
No, but like if he 2, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll take
exactly. Exactly. When you've got a coach talking about 50 trick plays on the season.
I thought you were gonna ask how many passes he was gonna throw in this game.
You still would take the over of 1.5. Yeah.
1.5, I'd think about it, but half?
He's over. He'll throw a pass.
I think he probably
Sparks will throw a pass. There, I think there's a chance there's a trick play on the first series. Not a chance. There's always a chance. But I feel strongly that there's a trick play in that first series. Because if you've got Ross Aid ready to blow, right, and it's this night game, why not? Why not go for it right away? Because if you get it, you've blown the roof off the place. If you don't get it, but if you don't get it, the fans are still like, oh,
yeah.
Did you just see what he just tried? There's no losing that. I mean, the downside is a pick, right? But like, if it's a close play, they don't get it. Oh man,
You train them to throw it away. You're hoping that they have another year under their belt of experience, so that they know, you know, it's not the Hazel to Brom transition, so that they know what to do in these kind of situations. But yeah, the first play of the game, a run, you know, just an off tackle DJ Knox run. Second play of the game,
double reverse.
Well,
that was where wasn't the Ohio game, mm-hmm. the reverse flea flicker downfield bomb that blew the roof off. I think he has to, especially with basically all of the summer camp to prepare, right? Like you've been preparing for Northwestern. So the odds are you've got your trick plays figured out that you're going to use in this game.
I think you're spot on his motivation for it, like blowing, just making Ross Aid electric, getting the fans excited. He knows that the publicity matters. He knows the way people talk about the program matters. And I do think he used the Tennessee thing in the correct way to use it.
Masterfully, right?
He strung him along enough, whether he was considering it or not, whether he would have considered it had they come to him first.
I'll take a flight.
Exactly.
Let people wonder if I'm on an airplane.
But that's a different question of whether he ever would have considered it. But at the time that they called him, I'm certain that he wasn't really considering leaving, and he knew that he was on a recruiting trip. He's like, I got just Tennessee, you know, the team that fills, you know, their stadium with 100,000 people every Saturday. I've got them calling me, but I'm here. I'm at Purdue. Do you want to be here? And so it's like, he knows how to play that. And he knows second play of the game on the first series that Purdue's offense is on the field, a trick play.
I also think
that's a good prediction.
He knows that, like, I mean, I feel like college sports in general, but college football especially, I don't tend to believe in momentum too much in sports, but I do think there's an element of it, whether it's momentum or something else in college football, right? If you can feel, and this isn't just old man talk, like you can feel a game swinging. You can feel, oh man, because these are young guys. They get tense. They tighten up. Like that's what can swing. Professional athletes are professional athletes. They're steady, right? If you're better, you're probably going to win just because you're better, right? But you're not going to win because the other guys tighten up necessarily. It's pretty rare. College, you get a guy, get a team on their heels. You get a defensive secondary who thinks, I cannot let Rondell Moore get behind me. So now I got to play off him so much that they're going to abuse me underneath, and then I'm going to come up and they're going to abuse me long. Like, those things can be done, and Jeff Brohm can pick apart a defense, I think. So I think he knows that too, and he also knows that Northwestern has a history of not starting strongly in recent seasons. So,
you know, I'm glad that we're catching Northwestern when we are.
Oh, because God, yes.
I think that I'd be much
more in November last year and got whipped around by him. And
I mean, that's what Fitzgerald does. That's what Fitzgerald does, right? Is that he gets them going through the year, through as the year goes on.
Well, and as we said, he was pointing out Brohm every time he's pointed. You've seen clips of it. You've seen it in Golden Black days. He's reminding this team every chance he gets that Northwestern whipped them last year.
Yep.
And that's another thing with college guys, with young athletes. Like, you can really get to their pride. I mean, it's good and bad, right? You can rattle guys, and you can motivate them, I think, with that sort of feedback. So I think you're right. A loss isn't catastrophic. It'd be deflating in a sense because you'd just be like, what a crappy way to start the season at home. But if you lose to a team that's actually pretty good, and I think you mentioned the Louisville game and it being almost like a win because of how they played. That was where we were at. And I remember for a couple of years writing about, I don't care right now if they win or lose. I want them to look like they are not ill-prepared.
We've gotten to that point. Bold Sports, the king of the anti-moral victory stance. But we were at the point where we were like, show us something.
I didn't want moral victories. I just wanted to not look like a slapstick comedy. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And when they came out and they looked prepared and they looked like a unit and they looked like, I remember thinking, I didn't think at halftime they're going to beat Louisville. I remember thinking that. I remember thinking that they're not going to hold on to this, but I didn't think it was going to crumble apart because of poor coaching or poor preparedness. I just thought, as we all did, Louisville's pretty good and they're going to eventually get their points. It's going to happen. I mean,
so a loss would be deflating, and it would start to, you know, oddly enough, it would start to put a ceiling on the year, right? The possibilities for how special the year could be. Not that it couldn't be, but when you look at how tough the schedule is, and if you want a bowl game, the Northwestern game is kind of looking like it needs to be banked. But I think a loss isn't the end of the world, but a win would be. Man, a win.
Well, I think we talked about this on the last one, maybe not quite this way, but I think you can do this in a lot of seasons where you chunk it up and you make it. Yeah, you can't look at 12 games and say, you know, this is what has to happen. And you can't say one game is going to ruin your season. No. I think this season, if you want to talk about whether there's a cap on how good it can be, you're looking first at those first four home games.
Yep.
Right. You got to go 3-1 there. We talked about this, right? If you want it to be a very special season, you got to go 3-1. If you go 2-2, the season's still not lost.
Very realistic.
Still not lost.
Yeah.
And it's realistic. You can go 3-1. Then you've kind of got a two pack, I say, where you've got the road games in Lincoln and in Champaign, right? Got to win at least one of those, right? Let's say you're now 4-2. You talked about being 4-2, right? That's how I think you chunk this up, because you got to win one of those. Now, if you win in Lincoln, now you're with house money. Now you'd be pissed if you lose in Illinois.
But right? Now you have a shot.
Or you've made up for the one you lost
or
to,
you made
say,
up.
Northwestern, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. Or Missouri or something BC. Like that.
Yeah.
Or BC, which, by the way, the fans are very confident. I'm going to write up something on this, but not only do 93% of the fans collectively think that Purdue's going to beat Northwestern, but let's take a look here. The Missouri game on our BS poll, not the Twitter one, but the BS poll, 92% said Purdue's going to beat Missouri. And as I recall, when I looked at the Twitter ones, the Twitter fans are even more insane. And that's because everyone on Twitter is insane. We know this. If you're using Twitter, you're partially insane. But 92% on the site vote said Purdue would beat Missouri. And yeah, they're a bowl team. They've got a guy who is considered an NFL quality quarterback. Now they have a coach who is like a piece of driftwood coaching the team. I have not seen a coach that reminded me so much of Danny Hope ever than I have in Barry Odom. He's oh man, he's amazing. But you guys, just so those of you listening who like podcasts, you need to check out the Mizzod cast. Even if you don't like Missouri, just give them a listen now and then. They're pretty funny. They're very self-deprecating. They're very and they're very funny on Twitter too. They handle all the SEC haters, which is not that hard because I think Missouri, they probably get a decent education. But Missouri, I think one of the reasons we like them is they're not that different from Purdue, right? They're a program that kind of gets overlooked. That's never been a dominant, but they've always, you know, they've got their years of success. They've had their good times.
Yeah. And they'll be a tough game. I think the way that you split it out is exactly right. Grabbing two or
that's
three
the first,
in the first
half
four,
of the season.
That's all you can look, because then right. Your expectations
then hard.
Will change. Yeah, your expectations will change at that midpoint. Either Purdue is 6-0 and we're streaming towards, you know, something closer to 10 wins, or Purdue could be, I think, like 3-3. It's very,
right, they could be.
Very possible that Purdue is 3-3, and we're looking at, okay, is there a way to salvage the, you know, the bowl hopes? And a lot of that starts at this Northwestern game, which is why Brom knows this, obviously. And so it's going to be a special atmosphere. It's going to be, it's weird. It still feels weird that Purdue's playing on a Thursday, Purdue's opening college football. You know, the high major college football is Purdue Northwestern opening that. They're the prime slot. They're the team that everybody's going to be watching and tweeting about, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, man.
Speaking of, I'll do one last point on our fans and their craziness. Maybe this isn't so crazy, but they do believe that the game before game day comes to West Lafayette, the October 13th game at Illinois, not only is Purdue going to win, the Bold Sports on the site vote was 100% in favor of Purdue. Zero votes for the Illini.
Eventually, Lovey Smith will log on to Bold Sports. Lovey Smith, longtime Handsome Hour listener, by the way.
Santa Lovey.
Yeah. He's going to log on and get that nice little one click to Illinois, but that's going to be about it.
Voting is closed. I'm sorry. You Lovey. Missed your opportunity.
Santa Lovey.
It's going to be a shutout, is apparently what Purdue fans are saying. I got to say, I like the confidence of this bunch. I'm curious if this will change. A couple hard luck losses. I don't know if people will start to return to their traditional Purdue, you know, roots where they
losses
say,
happen.
Right, where they say, oh, back to Purdue, back to what they were. I mean, I don't see that. I think that especially after last year being 4-6 and then running the table and saying, I think now Purdue fans think anything's possible. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how they start.
They went into Kinnick and dominated. Like,
yeah,
back against the wall. Like, it's tough to argue against the anything is possible mentality here.
Yeah. Yeah. But and we'll as we keep reiterating, it still feels weird. That's why I say it out loud. It still feels weird to me that Purdue has I was saying an edge in coaching, but then you corrected me to say they don't just have an edge. They have one of the best coaches in the country right now. One of the hottest coaches, one of the most, sought after.
Go through them one by one and see who wouldn't trade Brom for their coach. And the list isn't that long. I don't know if the list gets to 25.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't even know if it's that many.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was thinking of our schedule, of Purdue's schedule, and I mean, there's not many programs on the schedule. I think Nebraska would take their guy.
Yeah.
I think Northwestern would take their guy.
Yeah. Ohio State? That's a fun game.
I bet you there are Ohio State fans who would say, you know what, let's cut bait right now and start over with a guy like Brom. He's a little younger. He's definitely more fun.
If you gave Brom Ohio State, are you out of your mind?
I know Missouri would take him. I know BC would take him. I'm sure Illinois would take him.
Hey, come on, Santa Levy. At least have a little bit of respect.
I like him. I mean, keep him around. I like him. He could show up all the children's events and stuff.
Michigan State?
I don't know. That's tough. I think they still like D'Antonio. I think, you know.
Disgusting.
Yeah, those places are just gross. I don't know what else to say. I mean, we haven't spent much time on the podcast about that stuff, but there's not much you can say if you know that people under your charge are abusive in any way towards anyone, really, women included, women or not women, abusive to anyone, minorities, women, other students, old ladies on the street, really anything.
It seems easy.
I don't care whether you did know or didn't know. First of all, you're lying if you say you didn't know something about your program. But you're also, you're either a liar or you're incompetent, because these guys are so type A. There's no way they don't know something.
We're selectively incompetent.
Yeah,
so you don't
I mean,
remember conversations.
Well, when... I mean, Urban has a memory problem, right? He forgets things. And if he's that, adult, then he probably shouldn't be running that program.
What? Iowa? Ferentz?
I think most Iowa fans would probably cut the cord.
I think most of them would stick. I think the extremely online Iowa fans would, but I think most Iowa fans wouldn't. That'd
Brom?
Be an interesting question.
Brom?
I think they like what
they've got, because they look at similar to the way we look at Purdue, and they think, well, who's going to come to Iowa? And I think you say, oh, Ferentz is pretty good when you consider who would come here. But if I said to you, you can have Jeff Brohm for the next 5 to 10 years?
That's fair.
I think they'd do that.
PJ Fleck, they wouldn't trade PJ Fleck, right?
Oh, I think they would. Are you kidding? Are you joking?
I'm joking a little bit.
Well, I don't know. I think they love him. I think they're excited about him. But, man, he is. So this season, this is going to be fun. See, this is why we should have done a Big Ten preview. I think this season is going to be huge for PJ Fleck, right? Because if he has a good year, if he gets into a bowl game,
not
that's
for
all
Minnesota, for PJ Fleck.
Yes, I think it's huge, because if he shows progress and they go to a bowl game, and I mean any bowl game, that's a step forward from what they did last year, then it's like, okay, we're on the right track with this guy. If he continues to look like he does, which is, he'll beat some crappy teams, but a good coaching staff is going to work him over, right? That's what it appears they've got right now. And if that is the case, I just think the luster is going to be gone so fast. His bullshit works in a conference like the MAC. And I just don't think he's going to run up against too many well-prepared, well-schemed, very strong coaching staffs in the Power Five. And I don't think he has the chops for that. I don't think he's experienced enough. I don't think he's all energy, right? He's all gimmick and energy. That's what he is.
He'll bounce down to you know, somewhere in Texas, Texas Tech or something like
Where
that.
Where did Ryan say he would be? Somewhere in Nevada or UNLV?
Said he was out west. Yeah, somewhere out west.
It was something like that. Right.
What's next? Wisconsin? They probably stick with Crist.
I mean, it's hard to argue with all the wins, but I also wonder, like, last year, the schedule lined up so well for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were they really a 12-win or 11-win team, whatever
you
they
can,
were?
I live in Pittsburgh. You can ask that about every Paul Chryst team. It's.
I mean, he's good. He's good, but
I, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. I'm much happier with Purdue, because Chryst was on the list for Purdue years ago. And
the hope.
And I was a little disappointed then that he didn't get more consideration. I think we thought he was a good
coach. I don't think he had much interest.
No.
In the transition. That 1 year transition, but yeah.
Right, right. But I'll tell you, I'm happy with Brohm over Chryst.
I wouldn't trade for any of these people.
And I do think that Brohm is it again goes to the fact that Brohm is perfect for the Purdue.
And who's the situation. Ben Davis? Who's the Ben Davis coach that's coaching Indiana? Tom Allen.
The Ben Davis coach, Tom Allen.
He's like coaching Ben Davis like a year and a half ago. Get out!
I looked at a bunch of predictions from a bunch of IU fans, and they were talking about their season, and they half of them are saying things like, you know, well, you know, Purdue and IU play, and then Brohm takes his job in Louisville. Like, they're really hoping against hope that Brohm leaves.
I share.
But what's interesting is they're not acting like he's not for real. They're not implying that.
They all know. I mean, like, it. You know, give it. I think give it about a year or two, and we'll probably say the same about Archie. I think Archie was a good hire and a real hire, and we'll probably be like, dang it, I miss Tom Crean.
Well, we knew we were going to miss Tom Crean from the day he was fired.
I missed Tom Crean every day.
Yeah. Yeah. That, oh, gosh. He was a gift. He just kept giving you fun.
So that's our Big Ten preview. That's our Northwestern preview.
Oh man.
Trick play on the first series is a good prediction. Rondale Moore over under 5.5 catches.
In this game you're talking about, right?
No, the season. Yes, this game. This game.
I'll take over for the season.
Yeah.
In this game, Purdue's going to fling the ball around. So that is a tough call. I'm going to say under.
Five. Wow. Okay.
I'm going to say five. I'm going to say he's going to have 3 to 5 catches because I think he's a freshman. I don't know that you want to ask him to do too much too soon. Of course, here I am thinking Purdue's going to put up 40 points. I don't know how they're going to do that if they're not throwing the ball a lot. But
I mean, you could be throwing to the tight ends, throwing to the running backs.
Well, I do think
you got Sparks. I think
I do think Cole Herdman will catch a lot of balls this year. I think he's going to be a red zone target a lot. And
under Jared Sparks passes. What half?
In the game?
Yes.
Half. Oh, I'll go over. Okay. He's a favorite, I think. I'm sure they've worked up a number of plays with him. And it's the perfect, you know, he's a wide receiver. You do an end around and have him throw it, or you do the you know, where he's out spread out wide, split out wide, and he breaks backwards instead of forwards, and you do a lateral pass out to him. That always works because when you're in the backfield, you can't tell that that pass is lateral. So you think, oh, there's a pass to the flat. I can go get that guy. I love that play. The only problem is you need to have enough time to complete it, right? Because you're throwing a backwards pass. You can't, you know, a blitz screws you, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, I can't wait.
So we've got the ESPN. We'll end on this. ESPN's Pick Center has Purdue. If they in the matchup predictor, they have Northwestern with a 53% chance of winning. Purdue with 47. So it's close, and home field doesn't push it too far.
It's not 93-7.
It's not 93-7. It's crazy. over under for the game. So Purdue is favored by one.
By 1 point, I saw that.
And the over under is 51. So let's play the line there. It's basically a pick 'em. I think we're both picking Purdue.
Yeah. Over under is what, 51?
51. Doesn't that seem low?
Way over.
Doesn't that seem low?
Way over.
51 in a 1 point spread. They're predicting a, like, what, a 25-26 game.
I mean, I guess that, yeah, I could see that happening. Maybe the thinking there is that it's the early season and offenses take a little while to get going, right? But to me, that's traditional football thinking. I think in college football, when you've got offense the way that college football has right now, I think that offenses get going pretty quick. And I think you're going to see over 60 points scored in this game. I would put the over. I'd take the over at 60.
I'd think about it. Yeah, I'd, 60 is high.
40 to 30, that's 70 points.
I think over 51 is a – I would take that.
I would take that.
If you, anybody,
in fact, to any I may drive to the Meadowlands in New Jersey and take that, literally. Because, hey, we can gamble on sports now.
I may move closer to New Jersey for this, but it'll be legal. It'll be legal nationwide, and then I'll just be losing a lot of money, but that's fine. It's okay.
So, not that I'm encouraging gambling or endorsing gambling in any way. Gambling is what we degenerates do, and the rest of you should stay away from it.
Yes. But meanwhile, I'll just live at a sports book, but that's fine. That's okay.
There's just to watch the games. There's a lot of TVs there.
That's right. However you're watching the game, tweet it to us.
Oh, hell yeah.
We want it. We will retweet every single one. Like, tweet us pictures of whether it's you in your living room with your dog or if you're at the game front row. Like, just tweet it at us, and you know, we want to see it.
Oh, man. It's Thursday night, man. It's the perfect time to break out the brown liquor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's Thursday night. Get your weekend started early.
That's right.
I would take off Friday if I were you. Just saying.
Yep.
I would say win or loss, I would take off.
It's a long weekend this weekend anyway. So just get it rolling.
Yeah, just get started. Going. And that's the fun thing, too, right? Like, if Purdue wins, How much fun will you have watching college football all weekend around? You just be like,
the Purdue effect. Yeah.
It's
Oh
like
my
a,
gosh.
it's like a, it's like, oh, this is nice, but I don't
King of
care
the
so much
world.
because Purdue won. So it doesn't matter. Oh, I have my Purdue shirt on. That's what you'll be doing all
And
weekend.
Purdue will be ranked 22nd in the country come Monday, and
You think
everything will
they're
be
ranked if they
okay.
beat Northwestern?
I think that was a really good Boiler Down prediction last week. I think if Purdue wins by more than two touchdowns, they are ranked automatically.
So you just put a big, you just put a big caveat on it.
Yeah,
So
if they've got to win
it's got to be
decisively,
a
they can't win.
decisive win. But his point was that there are a lot of people who would love to vote them. Right. There's a lot of people
Exactly.
who want them to be ranked
Exactly.
just because they like them and they like Brom and they're fun. And what we've not even talked about. The great job that Purdue Turf, I believe that's their Twitter handle, is doing on Ross Ade. The railroad tracks
The railroad
around the
tracks.
corners.
Easy.
Own it.
Just do
See, this
it.
is one of the things I've, yeah, own it. You are the only school
Go.
with a locomotive as your mascot. Put train tracks everywhere. It's so
If you
freaking
haven't
cool.
seen it, go to the Boiled Sports Twitter page. It's been retweeted. It's rail around the
From the
sidelines of the end
25.
zone. Yep,
From
into
the
the end zone.
25
Basically,
all the
the
way
red
around. Yes, the red zone, yes.
It's now the train track zone. It's amazing. We got to come up with a better name for that.
And I saw this too. Someone pointed this out to me on Twitter. The Motion P is still at midfield, but the Motion P is gold now, and it's been black for like the last 5 years. So, and you know what that is? I think Brom likes gold. I don't know if you've noticed this. He always wears the gold hat. He likes the gold. Now they've got matte. They had shiny gold. Now they have matte gold. That's all. That's he's bringing some of the tradition back of traditional gold, and I think that's pretty awesome. So
I love this.
I love those little nuances. I love those little subtle things around. And Purdue is just, again, killing it with their design team, their marketing people. They're just doing such a great job, just making everything feel. Look at Ross Ade. It's the same crappy ass Ross Ade it's been for many, many years, except that now it's painted nicer. Now there's awesome. The field looks amazing. The press box looks amazing. They've got, how about that? You've read about the train whistle, right? They got rid of the whistle and now it's a train horn.
Oh no, I didn't hear this. I don't know
Oh,
how I missed this.
You need to look into this. So the whistle, the famous, we've all heard the whistle.
Of course.
Beep, beep, beep. That's gone. They added like 140 decibel train horn that is apparently supremely obnoxious, which is just exactly what I want it to be.
It's like it's the difference between, you know, when a classic car is sitting. No, not even a classic car. Let's say a Pinto, Ford Pinto is sitting in the driveway. Moss is growing on. It's not even in the driveway. It's in the yard.
Daryl Hazel's at the wheel.
Yeah, it's just there's a skeleton. There's a skeleton, a decomposing skeleton at the
with
wheel.
With a folded hat.
That's Hazel, your hat. The moss is growing on the sides, but you give it a new, give it a nice new paint job. You give it some bells and whistles. You put a 140, you put a 140 decibel horn in it, and things are looking up.
That's and all of a sudden, it's loud and obnoxious and enjoyable, and now nobody wants to deal with it. Nobody comes into Ross Ade. Come on,
I think that is that's the lesson here. So nobody comes into Ross Ade, and on Thursday we will realize that nobody comes into Ross Ade. Well, that was a nice mini podcast about 40 minutes, but we'll be all right. We'll see you when Purdue is ranked on Monday.
Hell yes. Thanks for joining us for the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour for Game Week 2018. First game of the year. Man, it's exciting. It's a good time to be a Purdue fan. See you next week.